Well, welcome to Collective Church. Thank you for tuning in to this sermon, and I really do hope Jesus speaks to you in the midst of this sermon. But as a pastor, I just want to encourage something. If you're only tuning in online, we just want to say thank you and welcome, but also to push you towards finding a local church where you can be a part of a local body physically. So thank you for tuning in. You can find any information at collectivechurch.co, and grace and peace be with you. And we had this beautiful story in the Gospels where this man was blind, and all he did was hear Jesus coming, and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me." And just coming from his perspective of once being blind, and then at the end of this passage that we're going to read today, he says, the Gospel account said, it doesn't matter where he went, he just followed Jesus. So this man was blind, and he shouted, "Lord, have mercy on me," and he received mercy. He said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I remember, I don't remember being actually physically blind, but spiritually blind. I remember I always talk about this story of me being at dinner with a whole bunch of friends back in like 2012, whenever it was, in front of all my friends and in front of my mother, who just said, like, "Hey, let's pray for the food." And I wasn't a Christian back then. And I said, "God is for people who are too weak to want it themselves, or too weak to work hard enough. Or if you need God in your life, you're on a crutch, or it's not something that you're going to work hard for." And it's really embarrassing being that spiritually blind back before I was a Christian. And the only person who opened my eyes was the Holy Spirit and was the Lord Jesus. And we can all be spiritually blind, and we can even be physically blind. But I want to talk about spiritual blindness today. I want to talk about, because we can all be focusing on the wrong things. And this is what, you know, beforehand we did a prayer circle, and it was a vision check. And I want to check our vision today on what we're focusing on. And because the results of what we're going to talk about today, the results shifted history and shifted time. And I need you guys to understand that if you have something in the forefront of your mind, it's just a vision check. And we might be spiritually blind sitting here today, listening online. We might be spiritually blind and might not even know it. So what are we consuming ourselves with? Do we have a consumer mentality to where we're just listening and consuming stuff, or do we have a pharisaical attitude? Because I know we live in a world. If you call yourself a Christian, we live in a world, we do, that is mostly spiritually blind. And for us Christians, we are taught to see life and see the world the way God wants us to see it, and to not be spiritually blind, like fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because we can have accidental pharisaical and toxic attitudes. And we can even be blind with our intention of our contribution, and even blind to our spiritual formation. If I can say to you, if I can ask you a question, what is your spiritual formation and how are you contributing to that and what are you pouring into it? It'd be tough answers. So we're going to take the story of Bartimaeus being blind and then being healed. And I just want to talk through some stories found in the Gospel of Mark. And the mission is this, is to have our eyes open to the results of the cross. What are the results in your life right now? Think of it right now. What are the results of the cross? What are the results of the cross, the resurrection, and getting your vision checked? If you think about it, what are you thinking about? What are the results of the cross in your life? What are the results? Okay, so we're going to read Mark chapter 10. We're in Mark chapter 10, verse 32. And if you guys pulling your Bibles out or flipping to it, Mark chapter 10, I'm going to pray through scripture. So Father, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for opportunities to get our vision checked, our spiritual blindness checked, and may you open our eyes again to the results of the cross. And Father, may you just glorify yourself through scripture. And we thank you for scripture that we can open it up anytime we want. In Jesus' name, amen. So three little stories in Mark chapter 10. We're going to talk about how Jesus predicted his death again, then the request of James and John, and then the healing of blind Bartimaeus. And it's such a beautiful cross-correlation that I want to go over, and it's going to be cool. So verse 32, and it says this. Jesus predicts his death a third time. So imagine Jesus saying this twice before, and this was his third time saying to his disciples, keep your vision checked, keep the spiritual blindness in mind. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So verse 32, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished. While those who followed were afraid, again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We're going to go up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Verse 35, the request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I will drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at the right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many. Verse 46, blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. While he heard it, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Verse 52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And so these three little stories, I want to just talk to you about the correlation of your vision being checked. You were once blind, but now you see. What are the results of the cross? What are the results of the cross? So if Jesus asked you, just like he asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? How would you reply? Think about how you would reply to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? In this passage, Jesus asked the question twice. The disciples gave him the wrong answer. The blind man, Bartimaeus, gave him the right answer. Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Here James and John ask, like, hey, can we sit in your right or left? Please. All the blind man said is, I want to see. And the tough part of spiritual blindness and kind of getting our spiritual formation back in line with just fixing our eyes on Jesus, getting close to him in his presence is this. It's pretty simple. We can get wrapped up in so many different things. I know some of you guys have been coming here for a while and like, okay, maybe what I desperately long for, and if Jesus asked me what he would, if I could get something from him, what would it be? It should be to get closer to him, into his presence. But most of us had something else in mind. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but it's like, how many of us did actually say, I just want to see. I want to see you clearer. I want to see you more. And I want to see you often. And I want to just have peace in the calm of the storms, right? What was that quote that I posted the other day? Oh my goodness, that he may calm the storm, but he also allows the storms to rage so he can calm you. And so it's kind of a perspective shift. So some people simply do not see it. Talking about the world, some people really do not see Jesus and what he did. It's a myth. It's a 2,000-old book. God is far away. How can God care for us? Or who is Jesus? He's just a weird teacher. We see it all the time. And people are leaving the church left and right. Some have described the death of Jesus as an unexpected and tragic, but in fact, it was planned, prophesied, and predicted. So this passage in Mark is the third and most detailed prediction Jesus gave about his death. It shows us that Jesus expected his own death and even his resurrection. His death was not unexpected. It was deliberate choice. It would end not in tragedy, but in triumph. What are the results of the cross? So further, he had a clear understanding of his purpose, of his death, and the results. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many. So it's really understanding that Jesus came, made his dwelling among us in John chapter 1 as a suffering servant, a suffering servant. So what are the results of the cross? And all this sermon is about is just to, I know a lot of us come through these doors and online and we have so many different things going on, but it's just to really encapsulate all of us together as Christians and like, hey, let's focus and later get our vision checked about the cross and the suffering servant. Let's not be blind like the disciples, and let's just be like Bartimaeus and say, I want to see the suffering servant again, and I want my vision checked today. So, number one, we have four little things about the suffering servant. Again, I want to see. Let's be like Bartimaeus and immediately receive his sight and follow Jesus along the road. No matter how far you away from Jesus today, let's get back to how he was the suffering servant and how he suffered and died and served you. So number one, the suffering. Why did Jesus come into this world? He understood that the whole purpose of his mission was to suffer. This is the reason he came. He came to give his life for you and me. Please, loved ones, never forget that. He came to suffer. He came to suffer. He came to serve. It's talking about the triumphal entry that he came on a donkey into Jerusalem when people thought he was just going to become this militant leader. He was not going to be this militant leader that's going to overthrow Rome like with force and power. No, it was upside down kingdom. He came to serve, to suffer, and to die for the sins of the world. Do not the sick need a physician? So number one, suffering. Number two, servant. Vision check. Jesus uses the expression to serve. He saw himself as the servant. He came not to be served, but to serve. The expression is to give his life. Echoes the words of the servant in Isaiah 53:10 and in Isaiah 53:12. He poured out his life unto death, the suffering servant. So Jesus quotes Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 so much during his life. So again, what was those three words? Where is it at? Oh, that the fact that Jesus's death was planned, prophesied, and predicted. So could you imagine? I know we're not even close to Jesus. I mean, we might be like close to him in prayer, but we're not close to being him. But imagine knowing what's going to happen and having to teach everybody and how blind everybody was, because he says it how many times? Three times. Hey, you guys, this is going to happen. It's like for us in sports, like if a team, like all of a sudden, like we get told that a team's going to win and we don't believe, and then the team wins, and then we get told again that, oh hey, this team's going to win and this is the score, and then it happens and we still don't believe that this person is telling the truth. And then he says, oh, this team's going to win. It's going to be by this much. You're going to be wearing this, and this is going to happen, and who is going to be around you. And it all happens, and you still don't believe. It's called spiritual blindness to the truth. And it's a beautiful thing. So number one, suffering, number two, servant, and number three, savior. The word ransom. What does that word ransom mean for you? The fancy word of penal substitutionary atonement, or that you were charged with absolute sin, and all of a sudden the judge says, you are free to go, you're innocent because Jesus paid it all for you. Ransom. And it's usually used for prisoners of war and slaves. It means the price paid for redemption. It is paid to set the captives free. Jesus' death on the cross saves you and me by setting us free. And number four, substitute. The word translated for in Mark 10:45 is the Greek word anti, which means in place of. In place of. And it suggests the idea of substitution. It is this idea of suffering in our place that so strongly underlies Isaiah 53. By using these words, Jesus showed that he believed that his death was not accidental or for his own sin, but suffering in the place of others who would rather otherwise have had to suffer. So in reality, I've been reading through all of the, you know, at the end of Exodus and the beginning stages of Leviticus, all the things that you have to do to atone for sin. The tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Lord, right? There's five dwelling places of the Lord throughout all of Scripture. Number one, the tabernacle. Two, the temple. Three, Jesus. Four, you. Five, the church is where the church or where God dwells. So kind of reading on how if God dwells in this tabernacle, the sanctuary, the tent of meeting, all these places in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden you had to sacrifice animals, and there's such a prolific and elaborate process to atone for sins of the people, and the way the priests, like Aaron as the high priest. Did you guys know Aaron stood in the place of Jesus as the high priest in the Old Testament, and then all of a sudden Jesus came as the great high priest. But all the processes that they had to go through to atone for sin. And I just thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord that we do not have to do that today. If you sin, all of a sudden you have to go through this elaborate process and to kill either a bull, a lamb, a goat, doves, or bring some spices in. So thank the Lord that we do not have to do that, because who did it? Jesus did it as the suffering servant. So when Jesus asked his disciples, what do you want me to do for you? He asked it again, what do you want me to do for you? They gave the wrong answer. They gave the wrong answer. They wanted position. They wanted position. It is always a temptation for Christian leaders, even for myself or even for everybody else, to compete with one another for the most prominent position. It's really tough. So when James and John asked them, what does it say? It says, let us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in glory. Could you imagine asking Jesus? I think I would do that. I think I would. Like, it doesn't hurt to ask. But they asked in front of all the other disciples, and then all 10 other disciples became indignant towards those two disciples, saying, how dare you ask for more prominent positions than us? So the clothes, here's a good one. The clothes of authentic discipleship are not the purple robes of an emperor or holding a microphone in a church or any position at the church or any position at the workplace you're involved in, but the crown of thorns of our Savior. It is not about a cross. It's about a cross, not a throne. It is a life laid down for others. So let's follow the example of Bartimaeus, who cried out to Jesus for mercy. Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. How many of us woke up and said that this morning? Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me, Jesus of Nazareth. Anybody wake up and preach that to themselves? Oh, Son of David, from the lineage of the Davidic line of Judah, please have mercy on me. No, not anybody? Well, I did, so. No, I'm just definitely just kidding. But Bartimaeus asked for his sight. His eyes were open and he saw Jesus. Where's your sight right now? Who are you as a disciple of Jesus? Are you ones who are begging Jesus and asking him for all these other things and longing for obtaining more things or a position or this next chapter in life or the next version of yourself, or like Bartimaeus asking for his sight. And spiritual blindness, if you're not physically blind, can be very, very daunting and very, very tragic. Because when we don't fix our eyes on Jesus and we fix our eyes on other things, then we get in the way. And then all of a sudden we become a lukewarm disciple. So for this next couple 10 minutes, we don't have to do 2 10 minutes, okay? 1 10-minute session of prayer and quiet time, you're going to ask God to open your eyes to see Jesus and understand that all he's done for you. It's really, really, really just simple, like really vision check today, little bit of a reminder of not being one who's trying to obtain something, but to see and get closer to someone. And that his name is Jesus. So 10 minutes, again, ask God today to open your eyes and to see Jesus and understand all that he has done for you through his death on the cross as the suffering servant. So be back in 10 minutes. So amen, amen, amen. There's something that came to the forefront of my mind when I was praying through that. There has to be something about when Jesus says your faith has healed you. Happened to the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. It happened to the bleeding woman. And it also happened to this blind man. Jesus says the same thing. Your faith has healed you. And the only thing that I can contribute to it, I'm not a past pastor or someone who believes in saying you're not healed because you have lack of faith or anything in regards to that. I think the faith comes in as the mustard seed or moving the mountain, or in the old Greek and the Hebrew, they actually say the mountain is a, you know, like an object or a something that is in the way of your eyesight. And so that word faith, I just don't want us to contribute to the world's blindness, or I don't want us to contribute to this spiritually blind. And I want us to be open to the suffering servant. And so again, we're just reminded that if you are seemingly spiritually blind and you're like, okay, how am I supposed to discern if I am spiritually blind or not? It's what you think about most. Is are you trying to get something, or are you just trying to be with someone in the name of Jesus? And I just want us to be encouraged with that. And how is your vision? And so if we, again, kind of closing out here, is having the faith, again, the clothes of authentic discipleship are not the purple robes of an emperor, but the crown of thorns of a savior. It's about a cross, not a throne. It's a life laid down for others. And so just simple takeaway. If you can have a prayer life this week that just starts with, he opened my eyes. So you wake up in the morning, thank the Lord, he actually physically has opened your eyes once again. And then go into that spiritual and saying, oh, he has opened my eyes. So may we be like Bartimaeus. I just want to see, Father, I just want to see you more. I want to see your goodness and your mercy and your love that can follow me all the days of my life. And this is the one thing I ask, is that I can dwell in the house all the days of my life. So Jesus, we pray, as I just want to simply say thank you for dying for us and just having that vision check today. And Father, the disciples and how they were spiritually blind a little bit, and how Bartimaeus was physically blind, but in contrast, he was spiritually open and finally was able to see Jesus. And Father, may we have that same heart posture. It doesn't matter. Bartimaeus did not care where you were going, Jesus, but he followed you. He followed you. Thank you for the miracle of you saving us and the salvation. May we not be spiritually blind, and may we pursue you with fervor and zeal and compassion and passion for your word, and may we lay our life down for others. Thank you for being our great high priest. Thank you for being our sacrifice, and thank you for the vision check. In Jesus' name, amen.